IPC risk assessment process. For a risk assessment to be useful, it needs to be done according to a set process. The APIC/JCR Infection Prevention and Control Workbook describes this process. Create a team or advisory group. The IP should partner with key stakeholders, including the IPC team, discussed elsewhere, opinion leaders, management, finance, and administrative and clinical leadership. Establish a timeline. The IPC program timeline must fit into budget cycles, which will impact when the annual review is held. But there should be enough time for surveillance activities, team meetings, and a review to be completed. Priority risks need more frequent reviews. Gather data and information. IPC risk is evaluated using community and resident demographic data, historical infection data, known current risks, reports of infections in the community, and IPC literature. Strategic goals and reports should be reviewed. This includes services provided by volume, medical and lab records, admission/discharge records, bed utilization, microbiology, antibiotic resistance patterns, IPC surveillance, internal training and competency, and HAI and EMDRO costs. Trends and updates from government agencies, scientific and professional literature, and official statements, recommendations, and guidelines should also be reviewed. Develop systematic methods and templates. Risk data needs to have an easy-to-use, systematic process for collection and analysis that turns qualitative data into quantitative data when possible. It must include a method for the interdisciplinary team, IDT, to rank priorities. Engage and educate others to assist in the assessment. This includes using shared risk terminology and tools, as well as providing training sessions on IPC risk assessment, template use, and the sharing of surveillance, outbreak, and mortality data. Perform the risk assessment. This involves the IP assembling their team, providing ground rules, education, and data, then engaging team members in a guided debate prior to completing and scoring the risk assessment template. Using the scores from the assessment, the ID team must come to a consensus on the highest priorities. They will then present their recommendations to the appropriate committee or other decision makers for review and approval. Use identified priorities to develop the IPC program goals, objectives, and activities. The highest priorities form the core of the IPC program goals. Each goal should have at least one measurable objective for every selected priority, along with an action plan for execution and an evaluation process for determining relative success. Some priorities will be maintenance-based, that is, to keep doing what works. IPC program goals, objectives, and action plans should also be reviewed and approved by the appropriate committee or other decision makers. Disseminate the information. In addition to writing a concise report with easily digestible key points, the IP's role is to sell stakeholders on the importance and value of the risk assessment. It is also important to acknowledge assessment participants. Updating the IPC risk assessment and IP reports. CMS requires that the facility perform an IPC risk assessment annually or whenever the facility plans for a change or is experiencing a change that would significantly impact the assessment results. The assessment does not need to be redone every time a new resident moves into the facility. A good example of a reason to revisit the assessment more frequently than once a year is if the facility decides to start accepting residents with specific care needs who were not previously admitted, such as persons on dialysis. Key point: a facility-wide risk assessment must be conducted at least annually. A new risk assessment should also be done whenever a significant new risk or emerging threat is identified, as the situation may call for additional precautions and resources. A risk assessment may also need to be revisited if an identified risk changes in some way. For example, if a lower priority condition rises to the level of an epidemic or a pandemic. The COVID-19 pandemic has affected institutions and facilities worldwide, and the emergence of variants has required authorities to revisit ICP measures that had been retired or loosened. On a smaller scale, a new facility-wide risk assessment might be needed given an unpredictable increase in a particular infection. The results could help narrow down the root cause, such as use of contaminated supplies or equipment. The IPC program needs to be updated based on findings from the IPC risk assessment. IPC reports should also be reviewed at least quarterly as part of the LTC Facilities Quality Assessment and Performance Improvement Program, CAPE. In addition to participating in CAPE and related projects, IPs should be involved in facility construction slash renovation projects, decisions about new products or equipment, environmental issues, and emerging threats. IPs should also work with the pharmacy consultant on the antimicrobial stewardship program. While an antibiotic stewardship program is a team effort, CMS notes that the IP is responsible for ensuring that the program meets all requirements. Therefore, the IP should facilitate communication between the pharmacy and the laboratory related to antimicrobial stewardship coordination. Documentation should also include monthly microbiology reports of laboratory results, antibiograms, and alerts regarding epidemiologically important organisms. Infection risk factors. Facility demographics, older populations. The CMS required facility risk assessment needs to be customized to the specific LTC facility's population demographics. Most residents who occupy LTC facilities are over 65 years of age, with a mean age of 80. Frequent healthcare encounters with hospitals, clinics, and skilled nursing facilities place older adults at risk of colonization with healthcare-associated pathogens, including methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, MRSA, and C. difficile. For the older adult, treatment often involves measures like catheterization that increase the risk of infection. The nursing home environment may foster the development and transmission of infectious agents. It is estimated that more than 1.5 million HAIs occur yearly in long-term care facilities. Infection is the most common reason for transfer of residents from a long-term care facility to an acute care hospital. It accounts for about 33% of the transfers. Key point: one of the principal changes associated with aging that is relevant to IPs is a decline in immune function that occurs even among the healthy elderly, increasing their vulnerability to infection. In the LTC environment, age-associated changes in residents can contribute to the increased risk for infection either directly or indirectly. Infectious diseases are a frequent cause of morbidity and mortality in older adults. Determining demographic-related infection risks. Risk is evaluated using community and resident demographics, historical infection data, known current risks, reports of infections in the community, and IPC literature. Prior to designing, or refining, a surveillance plan, the IP should consider the infection risks associated with the facility's unique demographics, including risks related specifically to its geographic location. This may include the demographics of the facility as a whole or those of just one or two specific medical units, depending on the focus of the risk analysis. The IP should review the facility's risk assessment for organization-specific and community-level data, including the age, race and ethnicity, and socioeconomic status of community members, as well as any chronic or infectious diseases or conditions present within the community. It must also encompass all residents, HCP, and potential visitors to the facility. The IP should review information about any changes in care needs, acuity, or turnover. For example, subsets of a population may include the number of residents who are immunocompromised, example, oncology patients, implanted with invasive devices, example, central lines, suffering from poor nutrition, living with acuity issues, recently or frequently transferred from acute care to a long-term care, LTC, setting, potential for specific infection, including information on historical outbreaks, example, C. difficile, influenza, norovirus, COVID-19, or West Nile virus, and the time of year they occurred, as well as EMDROs that are consistently or frequently present at the facility, whether in current residents or new admissions. The IP should also review data on emerging infectious diseases. Facility treatment slash care practices, including the types of care and services provided in order to identify residents' specific risks of infection, example, procedure or device-associated risks, EMDROs, and enteric or respiratory diseases. In addition to medical services, the IP should review laundry and EVS practices, as well as the number and types of invasive devices in use. Example, central lines, urinary catheters, and ventilators. Facility reusable instruments slash medical devices, including all cleaning, disinfection, sterilization, and handling practices and processes. Environment of care, including facility management and safety processes, as well as risks related to maintaining a safe, functional and supportive physical environment. HCP and resident behavior, including the rate of staff adherence to IPC practices, example, HH Sharps disposal, and proper use of personal protective equipment, PP. The IP should also review processes for helping residents who are unable to comply on their own. Emergency management, including the facility's emergency response plan, example, procedures for responding to potential bioterrorism events. Historical disruptions to supplies of medication, example, vaccines, antibiotics, and antivirals, and materials, sweater, food, PP, cleaning supplies, ventilators, etc. This also includes any plans to mitigate future disruptions. HCP and resident vaccination rates, including data on the specific vaccinations administered and any hesitancy or refusal from staff. Extra considerations might be needed when assigning tasks. Additional information, including any facility-identified risk factors as well as the overall organizational level of preparedness. Example, historical levels of hospitalization for an infectious disease or infection. Infection prevention and control risk assessments. Community health departments use the CDC's Infection Control Assessment and Response, ICR, tools in their audit activities at healthcare facilities. These audits assess the facility's overall IPC program capabilities. Facilities are encouraged to be familiar with these tools in advance of such visits. The tool for the LTC facility setting is the Infection Prevention and Control Assessment Tool for Long-Term Care Facilities, available at www.cdc.gov/infectioncontrol/pdf/icar/ltcf.pdf. This assessment tool has the following sections. Facility demographics. This section identifies the facility and its type, indicating whether it is state licensed and/or certified by CMS, the number of licensed beds, total weekly staff hours dedicated to IPC roles, and any hospital affiliation. Infection control program and infrastructure. This section contains a checklist for each of the IPC domains listed below. For each checklist item, the observer indicates whether the assessment was done and enters any notes or areas for improvement. Here are some important things that are assessed in each of the domains. Infection control program and infrastructure. Existence of an infection preventionist and training received, surveillance process, IPC policies and procedures, and written emergency preparedness plan. Healthcare personnel and resident safety. Existence of HCP work exclusion policies that avoid wage, job status, or benefit penalization. Illness reporting training. HCP and resident tuberculosis screening and HCP tuberculosis risk assessment. Vaccines offered. Exposure control plan, including OSHA bloodborne pathogen standard and pneumococcal vaccination status at admission. Surveillance and disease reporting. IP notified of EMD or OLAB reports. Existence of intake procedures with infectious person screening, written infection surveillance plan, follow-up system for acute care hospital transfers related to suspected infections, written outbreak response plan, current list of reportable diseases, and local or state health department points of contact. Hand hygiene. Alcohol rub promoted over washing, with exceptions, hand hygiene, HH, competency validation at higher and annually, HH audits, HH feedback, and supplies. Personal protective equipment, PP, existence of standard precautions policy, transmission-based precautions policy with specifics of what PPE to use when, PPE training at higher and annually, PP audits, PP feedback, and supplies. Respiratory hygiene/cough etiquette. Existence of respiratory infection signage, HH resources near entrance and in common areas, face masks offered, family and visitor education, and HCP education related to respiratory secretions. Antibiotic stewardship. Existence of antibiotic stewardship leadership, accountable persons, access to antibiotic prescribing expertise, written policies on antibiotic prescribing, improvement plan, report summarizing antibiotic use in last 6 months, antibiogram from laboratory within past 24 months, clinical prescriber feedback, and antibiotic stewardship training for nursing staff and clinical providers with prescribing privileges. Injection safety and point of care testing. Existence of injection safety policy with fingerstick protocols and point of care testing, training for point of care testing at higher and annually, audits during point of care testing, feedback provided, supplies, and policies for controlling access to controlled substances. Environmental cleaning. Existence of written cleaning slash disinfection policies for routine and terminal cleaning, for rooms of residents on contact precautions for high-touch surfaces, and for equipment shared among residents. Policies and procedures for cleaning and reprocessing of reusable medical devices, including for external consultants such as dentists, job-specific training on cleaning slash disinfection at hire and annually, cleaning slash disinfection audits, feedback, and supplies. Direct observation of facility practices. This optional section has checklists with a series of questions with space to indicate what was observed. For example, for HH performed, the observer can indicate alcohol rub, hand wash, or no HH done. These checklists are for use in direct observation of facility practices in the categories of point of care testing observations, such as assisted blood glucose monitoring, hand hygiene and contact precautions observations, indwelling urinary catheter and central venous catheter maintenance observations, infection control guidelines and other resources. This section lists a number of resources that can be used for infection prevention or to help close gaps in any of the other domains discussed above. APIC IPC Risk Assessment Tool. A partially completed example of the APIC IPC Risk Assessment Tool is shown in Exhibit 3-1 and Exhibit 3-2. Review the categories of risks to assess and the specific risks in each category. Note that LTC facilities should customize the categories and risks to suit their needs. Exhibit 3-1, APIC IPC Risk Assessment Tool Example, page 1. Exhibit 3-2, APIC IPC Risk Assessment Example, page 2. Source, adapted from APIC. Note how a score of 7 or higher is considered a higher priority category. Note also that this tool scores the probability, likelihood, column as high equals 3, medium equals 2, low equals 1, and 0 equals 0. And the impact, consequences, column as high equals 3, moderate equals 2, and minimal equals 1. While the fourth column, infection prevention systems, is scored so that higher scores relate to less mature systems, poor equals 3, fair equals 2, good equals 1, and excellent equals 0. This is because the third category is factoring in capability levels, which will mitigate the given risk to some degree. When the three categories are summed, or, in some circumstances, multiplied, better capabilities will result in lower net scores. Conversely, lower capabilities will indicate a higher priority. Organizational IPC capabilities should be assessed relative to the given line item,